Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rico Muhammad, not Kevin Rutherford, coming to you live from Wildwood, Florida. Appreciate you guys sticking with us. We had a couple of technical difficulties tonight, and we worked through them, got everything squared away. So, and we have a special guest that's going to be on with us tonight, Mr. Chuck Snow, the CEO of Traffic, is going to be on with us tonight. Before we bring Chuck on, I'm going to go through the little preliminary stuff with the rate, the DAT trend lines report and the USDA truck market report. Appreciate it. Once again, I just can't say it enough. I appreciate all the responses and everything that we got, and I appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. So with no further ado, let's get on into it. The DAT trend lines report for the week of August 10th through the 16th shows a 6.1 increase in spot market freight availability. That was accompanied by a 2 cent recovery in the national average reefer rate, and van rates were unchanged at $2 per mile. Flatbed rates remained strong at $2.45 per mile. We're going to jump over into the U.S. van demand for the week of August 10th through the 16th. And it shows that freight availability rose 4.6% last week for vans on the spot market, and the truckload capacity was unchanged, boosting the national average load-to-truck ratio from 3.1 to 3.2 loads per truck. That 3.1, 3.2 is kind of like the bare minimum to where it's halfway decent on getting any freight on those in that perspective capacity as far as dry van is concerned. At 3.1, I found that 3.1 and 3.2 is not the greatest, but you can still get halfway decent rates in the dry van segment as long as you stay above the 3. So once it dips below 3, it gets really difficult on getting pretty good rates. And so we'll jump over into – switch it up a little bit. We'll jump right over into the rates for dry vans. And the national average for the van stabilized at $2 per mile last week. That is a strong rate for vans in mid-August and 16 cents higher than the average rate at this time last year. So that's a little bit of good news right there. And breaking the rates down by the United States, up in the northeastern corridor, we're showing rates at an average of $1.86 per mile. Moving down to the Mid-Atlantic, we're showing rates at an average of $2.06 per mile. In the Midwest, we're showing $2.16 on average per mile. South Central United States showing a $1.90 average per mile. And out west, we're showing $2.22 per mile on average for the dry van segment. Moving over into U.S. flatbed demand. Flatbed loads, the load availability rounded 7.9% for flatbeds last week, and the capacity added 2%. The resulting load-to-truck ratio increased 5.8% from 34.6 to 36.6 loads per truck. Flatbed demand has been unusually strong since April. So once again, flatbeds are still in demand. So let's jump over and see how the rates are doing with flatbeds. And for the week of August 10th through the 16th, flatbed rates were unchanged last week at $2.45 per mile as a national average. Demand remains strong for flatbed, and capacity is constrained. So jumping into the sectors of the United States in the northeastern corridor, the average was showing at $3.41 per mile. Down in the southeast, showing an average of $2.78 per mile. In the Midwest, showing an average of $3.19 per mile. South Central rates for flatbeds showing $3.05 per mile. And out west, showing an average of $2.20 per mile for flatbeds. Moving over into the U.S. reefer demand, for the week of August 10th through the 16th, reefer freight availability increased 4.8%, and capacity expanded 1.1% last week, adding 3.7 to the national average load-to-truck ratio. The ratio moved up from 9.2 to 9.6 this week. So we're going to look at the reefer rates for on the national average, and it says reefer rates recouped through week of August 10th through the 16th. The national average rate for reefers recovered 2 cents last week after a 9 cents decline in the previous week at $2.28 per mile. Reefer rates remain 9 cents higher than they were at this time last year. And the breakdown throughout the country in the Northeast, starting out there at $2.27 on average per mile. Southeast average, the rate that they're showing, highlighting on the southeastern segment, is coming out of Lakeland, Florida, $1.48 is the average coming out of Lakeland. The average they're showing coming out of the Midwest is showing $2.96 per mile. Coming out of the highlighted area in the South Central region is McAllen, Texas, and that's showing an average of $1.68 per mile. And out west, the highlighted area they're showing is Fresno, $2.22 per mile on average coming out of those respective areas. And moving real quickly, jumping over into the truck rate report from the USDA, the Mexico crossing through Nogales is showing a surplus of trucks. So you want to stay out of that area if you're trying to move any kind of produce. Right now, the market that is showing a slight shortage is southeast Missouri and also southwest Indiana and southeast Illinois. Those areas are the only areas in the country right now that is showing a slight shortage. And right now it's showing a real shortage in Big Lake and central Minnesota. So those areas are, if you're looking for produce, Big Lake, central Minnesota is where you want to be, because right now on the first report from the USDA, it is showing that it is at a slight, at a full-scale shortage. So those are the reports that I have right now. And now, with no further ado, we're going to jump over and bring on our special guest, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am, Rico.
All right. Well, Chuck, we appreciate it. We had some difficulties, but we worked through them. And I just want to remind everybody that's on the line, I appreciate you guys for hanging in there with us. Tremendous response in a short amount of time. If you got any questions for Chuck, just press 1, and that'll get you right up on board, and we'll see you. I don't have a screener tonight. My daughter had a little event, and everything got thrown behind, so we're flying live without a net. So, Chuck, since last time we talked, what's been going on with you guys over at Traffix?
Well, lots of things. We're busy as heck. I was supposed to be in Dallas at the truck show, but like my late grandma always said, man makes plans and God laughs. And instead of being in Dallas, I'm out in Calgary, Alberta. I have an office out here in a terminal, and I had some customers I needed to see, so I'm out here instead of Dallas. But at least I'm west.
Your grandma's... Yes, sir. Your grandmother sounded like she was describing our show tonight.
I think so.
Well, Chuck, one thing that I want to... Yes, sir. One thing I wanted to try to get into, and we got a caller that has a question. We'll get to them in just a second, but I just wanted to open up. And from last week, well, actually for the past couple of months, one of the big topics and things that has been going on in a lot of the groups that I'm a member of on Facebook has been the direct freight debate. I don't even necessarily want to call it the debate. But I think that what we would like to try to do on the podcast, and one of the things that we're trying to focus on, is to try to help equip people with the tools so that they it's going out and getting the, approaching the direct customer is not the boogeyman that it may be made out to be. But we want to try to give people the tools and everything that they want, that they need to go and be effective when trying to go make those calls or going to go solicit for direct freight. And one of the things that you talked about last time that we had you on was you recommended the, I think it was the Carnegie School for as far as being able to get trained on how to do sales and things of that nature. And I think I may try to find the, see if they have a website and see if we can post a link on that. But since we have you on the phone and you are, have been so gracious enough with your time, and you do so much. You guys are doing a lot of business, you know, not only on the truckload side, but also on the broker side, and the lifeblood of any business that is as successful as you guys are is sales. So I figured, why not just, you know, when we get Chuck on, let's just try to pick his brain real quick and see if he can kind of help point us in the right direction.
Well, it's my pleasure to do that, and. The sales process, it's very easy once you get the hang of it. But I think as you and I discussed earlier, before you even make that call, you need to have a plan and presentation in your head to make to that client or that potential client. I think that any small fleet or one truck operator that goes in to see a client under the auspice of we do everything, we go everywhere, I think they're going to laugh at you and not take you very serious, because people are going back. Things have changed in the last couple of years, and people are going back to more regional points of business, and I think that small operators have to do that too. It's very hard with two or three trucks to service the entire 48-state network. So I think when you go in to approach a client, or potential client, I think it's very important to say, well, listen, we service, we're in Atlanta, Georgia, and we are looking for loads going into Florida, or we're looking for loads going to New York or wherever. But just have one region where you service. You can't very well be taken seriously when you're going in there and saying, well, we service all the United States. And I think that's the first thing you have to get in your head is, what do you really do? And once you understand that, then you can convey that to a potential customer.
Good stuff. So basic, and that's some of the stuff that we've been talking about at the CMCs and other things was, we called it creating the dumbbell or doing some tri-hauls. And I think that, you know, it gets difficult. I think that people have to commit to running those specific lanes so that when you approach those customers or whatever, they know that you're going to be there. I know we talked yesterday, and you were saying that, how can you approach a direct customer if you're trying to service the entire United States, and then you run into the issue where, they may need someone every day or every other day, and if you're doing cross-continental runs, you might not be back for another 2 weeks. So, Is there something that you may be able to help us out as well as far as like teams or something like that, team freight, an area they may need to concentrate on?
If you have a team and you're offering team service, there are certain industries that are always going to require it. Obviously, produce out of California and the produce areas is always a hot one. And, and there seems to be a real change in that. An awful lot of the smaller carriers, I think, have gotten out of California. And I'm watching a lot of the big guys get back into it because the smaller guys don't have money to invest in the newer equipment or don't want to invest that money. Where the bigger guys do have the money, they've got the deep pockets. So we're seeing more activity with some of the big guys investing more in that. But if you're going to operate a team business and you're not going to run California, well, then you have to think, what other areas are there that I could sell teams on? And, you know, there's things like we discussed, there's certain food products always. There are pharmaceuticals. They usually need teams and refrigerated trailers. There's air freight. And air freight, as you and I discussed earlier, very seldom does large air freight pieces, large pieces of freight that are marked on airway bills of lading actually travel on airplanes. They travel with teams because most airplanes aren't going to readily handle an overdimensional 10,000-pound piece. They're going to put it on a truck.
Right.
And, you know, keep in mind that when that customer ships that 10,000-pound piece, it's going to be picked up at his door on an airplane or on a truck, and it's going to be delivered on a truck. So, and it may be transferred at an airport. You know, it may be an airline that will have a trucker pick it up and have a trucker deliver it, and when they see the size of it and they realize that they can't really balance it with any other freight, they will give it to a trucking company or to a freight forwarder. And I think offering your services directly to, you know, to air freight companies, maybe, you know, if you're a team, that may be a great alternative.
Wow. So I hope that everybody that's on the line and the people that's listening to this recording, once they come down as a download, really, maybe I'll have you repeat that, Chuck.
If you're going to run teams and you're not going to be running California, especially, and you're going to look for other opportunities, you need to look at those opportunities and things such as pharmaceuticals and air freight. Because air freight, quite often, does not travel on airplanes, especially if it's large pieces or large shipments. The airplanes just can't handle it because of weight balances and everything else. So what will happen is somebody calls, they order air freight, they need it shipped from New York to L.A. It's not going to be a next-day delivery, even with air freight in most cases. It's going to be a second day, which most teams can do that in 48 hours. So if they ship at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, it should be there by 9 or 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning in L.A. And there's a great opportunity there for teams.
That is absolute gold. We're pulling back the veil here on some industry secrets, I believe.
Well, I have hauled, you know, we've hauled some air freight in our time.
I see, and that's why, once again, guys, I think my first caller with the question looks like he fell off, but if you have any questions, now's an opportunity. You got Mr. Chuck Snow, the CEO of Tractor, online with us. If you got any questions, by all means, you guys press number one. I got plenty of questions, no problem. If you don't want to press one, I got plenty of questions. And going into my next question, Chuck, is, okay, let's say we've identified a suspect that we want to pursue. Who do we need to ask for? How do we get to the decision maker?
Usually there will be a logistics manager or a traffic manager, and that's who you have to get to. And there's a number of ways. Now, what I always do is I get to them through the receptionist. She's the gatekeeper.
Right.
And
well,
now,
I see somewhat. Go ahead, Chuck. Don't let me finish. Let me let you finish your thought.
Well, no, I think sometimes the problem is getting past the gatekeeper. So
right.
You've got to butter her up. And that's how you get in.
Make her feel good about herself. Well, we got a caller
that
has a question. Caller calling in from the 585. Like I said, I don't have a screener tonight, so we're just going to be bringing you guys right on. So caller from the area code 585, you're on with Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Rico and Chuck, it's George Heck. How are you?
Hi, George.
We are well.
Chuck, Rico and I have spent a lot of time chatting, and one thing I want to go back to complimenting you. The last time you were on last month, I was traveling back from Arizona and listening to the show, and you made the comment, and Rico quoted or had commented about me about having different trailers, and you had made the comment last month about, well, maybe the problem isn't the freight, maybe you're pulling the wrong trailer. You know, that diversity is so valuable. I'm almost to the point in the last 2 weeks I'm tired of changing trailers, but it's worked out well for me. But, you know, there's so much I want to say, you know, back on this, but as you're talking about getting to the traffic manager, getting past the gatekeeper, that gatekeeper will make or break you. I've spent 16 years in LTL sales, most recently 2 years ago when I was in LTL with New England Motor Freight. We partnered with, I'm trying to think of our Canadian partner, but you're familiar. I mean, Cavalier is one that runs up there.
Oh, yeah, right.
And such. But, I mean, I don't even want to say anything because you're just hitting everything right on it. But it is a tremendous amount of work. And last month you mentioned about there's so much involved in it. And I can't stress enough. And getting used to hearing the word no. You're going to hear it a lot.
That's what you're right, George, and that's what differentiates somebody that wants to be a salesperson and a salesperson is those two things. And if you can take rejection, then you can be a salesperson. You'll be a good one. And when you get motivated by hearing your 50th no that morning, then you know you're a salesperson.
Well, go ahead, Rico.
Well, while I had you guys on the subject, I was reading a report that someone sent out, an industry report, and it's basically telling shippers on how to ship smart and how to save more money on their shipping costs. And one thing that they highlighted in this report, this white paper that they sent out, is step number 6 out of the 10 points was leverage your freight volumes in such a way that you gain maximum benefit in your rate negotiation with limited number of quality, keyword quality, core carriers, which speaks to what we talked about earlier as far as making sure that you designate your specific lanes that you want to run in. And finishing up on this point number 6, it says form relationships with carriers that have the assets, skills, resources, energy-efficient programs and technology to meet your needs. Utilize, this is the key part, small carriers and freight brokers to serve niche markets and niche lanes. If beneficial, explore and implement dedicated transportation programs. Treat your carriers with empathy and respect. Help them be efficient, and you will be the big winner.
Wow.
That was
music to my ears.
Bingo.
and I
Rico,
think
will,
that
can you post that link, or can you
take
a screenshot?
I definitely will. I planned on doing it a little bit later on anyway, but I wanted to highlight a couple of these points while we were talking about this subject. I found this the other day, and this guy, Chuck, you may know this guy, Dan Goodwill, president of Goodwill
and
Associates.
Sure do.
This is some of his work. So, you know, just getting back to, you know, as far as, and George posted something earlier in the week as well, sometimes it becomes a little bit of a debate back and forth with guys about, well, I don't really want to get dedicated my own customers or so on and so forth. But the post that George was saying that if you don't build your dreams, someone else will hire you to build theirs. And that's been a really popular post out there on a lot of different fronts. But I think that if you're not really truly building your business, you have to make the attempt to get out there and get direct customers if you really want to go to a different level. Now, if you just want to always be one truck, one carrier, whatever, and move from broker freight to broker freight, and if that's what floats your boat, you know, who am I to say that that's wrong? But if you want to do it, I think that if you really want to expand your business and do it better, the less people taking money out of the revenue, the better off you may be. and not saying that brokers don't serve a purpose.
You're right on the money there, and let me, I'll back you up there. First of all, when you have a truck or you have a couple trucks, you have to figure out what you're doing with them. Do you own those trucks so that you can, to make money, to feed your family, and to, make a living and to do all the things? And that's one thing, and you can do that with broker freight and chasing the produce lanes or whatever you're doing. If you are going to own those trucks in order to build a business, and that's a whole different way of thinking than filling those trucks with freight and going down the road. Now we're going to build something. Well, if you're going to build something, why are you building it? Okay, you're going to build a trucking company. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to build a trucking company because of what? If it's because you've got children and you want to leave this trucking company to your children because they have an interest or you hope they have an interest, that's fine. Go ahead. You need to build it for that reason. If you're going to build it because you want to sell it, that's a great thing so that you build up some equity in your business. Because I can tell you right now, if you have a trucking company and you garner all of your business through third parties, when it comes time to sell it, it's not worth anything. It doesn't matter how big it is. If you have 100 trucks and they're all hauling broker freight, then you have all you can get for your company is the blue book price of that equipment. And you won't get anything for the goodwill that you've built up with those brokers. Because
right.
That's not that, proprietary freight.
That is very well said. And Chuck, as I spent my 16 years in LTL sales, and I don't want to say it was just 16 because I'm still obviously selling for myself and building that, and it came up in a discussion recently, I enjoy the sell. I don't like the no, but I enjoy the sell. I like the challenge. I mean, every delivery for me is a sell. But
of course,
what I spent with my time in LTL, whether it was with a small regional carrier, with R&L carriers, with New England, which all were very good to me, is I targeted my business model for my company to go after everything they always said, oh, we don't want that. Oh, that's unprotected freight. Oh, that's high value. Oh, that's hard for us to do. You know what? Tell me what everyone else doesn't want, and I'll go after it.
That's right.
And you really just kind of nailed on. I don't want to take up a ton of your time. I mean, Rico, if you have other calls, hop to them. I could speak all night. You know me. But, one thing I did want to say, every trucking company, and I will take this right back to Larry Roberts Sr. starting R&L Carriers, he started that with one truck. Every big company started with one truck, whether it be Swift, any of them. And just think about that. What do you want to build?
That's right. And that's something that I don't think enough people in our industry have figured out. They want they look at what somebody else has built and they think they want that, but they don't have the interest or they're not interested in learning how to get there. And it's a long, long, painful process. Any of those big guys, I can only imagine how many sleepless nights they've had.
Right, and
I'm a little guy,
and one of the things that my goal is, especially with this podcast, is to try to help give people the tools to really. I think that the trucking industry has been such a mystified area to a lot of smaller people, maybe due to lack of education as far as the industry goes. Once you get into it. And one of the things that I really appreciate, with yourself, George, and Chuck, with you guys coming on and bringing a vast amount of knowledge and the sharing of knowledge between not only you guys, but, with Kenny Long and Chad Boblin and everybody like that, with the Facebook groups and everything, is the interchange of information and ideas. Sometimes it gets a little juvenile at times, but if we can remember and keep everything focused on trying to help one another get to a better position, I think that that's really the purpose of what we're trying to do here on this podcast and sort of our mission. So, and we got a bunch of callers on the line, which I'm really elated to see, but we don't have many questions. So, you guys, pleading. Don't be shy. You got a great opportunity. That's why I try to get these guests on for you to get a chance to ask your question, because my question may not be what it is that you want to know, and we're not mind readers, so we definitely want to have caller participation and interaction. Okay, good enough. I see someone. I prodded someone to go ahead and push the button. So, George, you got anything else you want to add?
No, have at it. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Nice talking to you, George.
Right,
you take
it.
Care of yourself.
Pleasure.
Be safe
Chuck,
out
I will
there.
Follow up. I want to give you a buzz. Thank you.
Okay, I look forward to it.
All right, let's go to caller from the 205 area code. Caller, you're on live. Where are you going, Chuck? How can we help?
What's going on? This is DJ out of Alabama. I was just going to ask something I've been doing, and it seems to be working, and if it's something I shouldn't be doing, or if I think it's going to, if y'all think it's going to get burn me eventually, is I've made it a point to chum up with the smaller carriers that are in my area. And all I run is Birmingham to the Carolinas and back. And basically, I'm chumming up with the smaller carriers and taking their overflow freight. Is that pretty much what he's talking about?
Well, partially. The only difference is what we're talking about really is going to the direct shipper. But you've still taken out a layer, which I congratulate you on. I think you're probably doing much better per mile than you would if you were just going to a broker.
Yeah, and I had direct out of Birmingham going into Florida, and I had direct back out of Florida using a small trucking company. And that kind of crumbled apart, and I've, like I said, I've buddied with other small trucking companies, and I've busted my hump for them, but it's starting to, like you said, it's a layer that's gone. It's still a brokered load, but it's their freight. It's not.
Well, I would think that you're building something that's got a little bit more value than if you're just taking stuff off of a load board. So, and I think you can build up a business. It goes really, you're almost like interlining.
And I'm one truck, one trailer, and you're right. The rates are a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
And because you're not having
one strategy that I've ran across, Chuck, and I just maybe get some feedback on this and for everybody that's on the line, that someone could maybe implement is say if you designate your area, we'll take gentleman says, he's Birmingham. Say if you're in Birmingham and you want to go to Greensboro, North Carolina. And say if you get, last week I talked about, week before last, I talked about how to go out and get the list from like M&I leads and stuff like that, where you can get leads, you can pay for leads in certain areas based on zip code or whatever. And say if you did that and you had go out and create yourself a postcard with like a dumbbell on it from Birmingham to Greensboro and you have your rate. Go ahead and advertise your rate to the shippers in those areas. If there's enough research tools and stuff that are out here now to where if you know what your costs are, you can figure out what you can run in that lane for, and not say that you're going in to undercut the market by any means. But if you go in and you advertise, if someone is using a broker and a broker's charging that premium for those lanes and they happen to get your advertisement, it may take you three or four times to send out that advertisement, but that may get your phone to ring directly from a shipper. What do you think about that, Chuck?
I think it's a tough one. There's a couple of areas there, I think, that are really difficult. I think that throwing out a rate, it's dangerous unless you really know your market. Like, it's just dangerous. I haven't seen it done very often. I have done it in the past for something really crazy. And if you want to throw something out there, some sort of a special on LTL maybe, so you have a rate per pallet between Birmingham and Greensboro or whatever of $100 a pallet or something, whatever, pick an arbitrary number and try to market that. But I think that a small operator could blow an awful lot of money on postage stamps and postcards, and those things end up in the garbage. I think it's more important to pick a target and to work that target. You make a call list. Those lists that you buy are valuable for, they're very valuable for large telemarketers and people like that. I think your best bet in our game is something we do all the time. We're always in industrial areas. So when you're in an industrial area and you see a place that's got 30 shipping doors, mark down their name. And I think that's the best place to get sales leads.
All right. Now, I'm taking notes as you're saying this.
Because we've tried mailers
before. I'm sharing different marketing ideas that I've ran across. And like I said, you know, while I got someone that's doing business on a seat, this is like a group mentorship that Chuck is taking part in doing with us. I mean, because Chuck is, you know, he's doing stuff on a higher level, and I would like to see my business one day get to the level that Chuck has his business. So this is why I'm, you know, prodding everyone that's on the line and you guys that are listening. Hey, let's take advantage of this, and if you got questions or comments, you know, let's get them out there. So he shot holes in one of my theories, so I got to go back to the drawing board.
I didn't mean to shoot your theory down.
No, I could take constructive criticism, not a problem.
You know, there was a time, gentlemen, when back in the late, I guess, mid-80s, when deregulation came to Canada and all the Americans were coming up, the big guys, the J.B. Hunts and the Schneiders, and there was a company down in Alabama that was quite prevalent, Pool, out of Evergreen, Alabama, used to be up in Canada all the time. And what some of them started to do at the time was actually take billboards and put rates on the billboard of, you know, we'll haul freight for, 75 cents a mile to the border and things like that. There was some of that up in Canada at the time. And that's one of the few times, and that was out of desperation because all these guys were going back to the border empty and they hadn't had the time to build sales forces up in Canada yet. But it didn't take them long to catch on.
Right.
And those
are
the only times that, you know, when I really, other than an ad I threw in a publication once offering loads or pallets from Toronto to Chicago for $99. But, you know, if you can come up with a gimmick like that, it's fine. But if you're just going to throw rates, it's hard because people want different things. It may be hand bomb. They may want a drop trailer, all sorts of different things. So that's where it's hard to throw at a rate. And also, you need to, and that's part of salesmanship. Before we can give a rate, we really need to start asking some questions of what the customer expects. Are there appointments? Because, you know, to an awful lot of these traffic managers, sure, I'll give you a load from Alabama to Greensboro, but you'll pick it up on Thursday, and you're going to deliver it the next Wednesday because you got to make an appointment, and it delivers at 7 o'clock at night. Well, you have to take all that into account because now all of a sudden you're going to need an extra trailer, and you're going to have a layover involved. And these people, they won't tell you the information. You need to ask it. And that's what your rate is going to be based on.
Right. So basically, what you're saying is if you put out a rate like that, you could really be shooting yourself in the foot because you really are undercutting yourself by not exploring further into the other options that may be available that you can add more value to the customer and charge a better rate for.
That's right. And I'm going to warn all of the people out there that are contemplating this. The one thing I'm going to tell you not to do is don't throw rates out right away. Find out what's involved. You know, too many people, and, you know, brokers, you know, there's a lot of animosity against brokers because brokers will do that. They'll throw a rate out because they don't really understand the cost of running a truck. So they'll look at an area sometimes. You get an immature broker or an immature salesperson, and you know, he'll take a mileage, let's say 400 miles, and he'll say, our rate is $800, thinking he can get a truck for $7. But then he finds out the extra stuff after when the truck shows up, and they go, well, you can't load this. You need an appointment. And then you go to deliver it, and you need an appointment again, and you call the broker. Well, I didn't know that. And then, pardon my language, the pissing match starts. And that's why the good brokers that anybody deals with have all the information. And you need it as well, and you need to rate your freight according to what the demand is. Because the demands have all changed.
Okay. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
All right, I was getting ready to come back to you, Carl. I didn't want to take up any more of your time. You got anything? You got another question you want to ask? Or
no, sir. No, everything I wanted to hear, that's what I wanted to hear. I mean, that is one thing, you know, about when you were saying throwing the rate out there. I wouldn't do that just because these trucking companies know I'm a little more expensive, but when they call me, they need me, and they know that it's going to get done, and I charge for that.
See, you've got you know what? You got the start of a great business there just on that, because they're calling you because they need you. That makes you valuable.
I mean, it's small. And it's small companies, 130, 150 trucks, but it works.
Well, those are
I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. Stick with it. I think you can build a business on that.
I appreciate your time, guys. Thank y'all.
Okay, good luck to you, and be safe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the call. And Chuck, jumping back over, I was going to jump back over to Mr. Goodwill's list here. Number five on his list states, conduct a high-quality freight RFP once a year. Make sure carriers, logistics service providers, new freight brokers, and new modes supply the carriers with a summary of a year's worth of shipping data. Share as much information as possible, going back to what you were just talking about pallet configurations, loading process, example, live load versus drop trailer, seasonality issues, and other aspects of your shipping process. That is step number five in his thing on 10 things that you can do to save money on freight and ship smarter. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? I'm not so impressed with RFQs, to be honest with you. We do participate, and I don't think they're as valuable now as they were at one time, because we're entering a market where we have a shortage of labor. So I can quote somebody a rate today from point A to point B, but if I don't have any drivers to put in those trucks, then all of a sudden the only way I'm going to get drivers, I'm going to have to pay more. And the only way I can pay more is I got to charge more. So I can give them a rate today of $2 a mile, but if I have to pay an extra 20 cents a mile for a driver, which could happen at some point, then I've got to go back and give them a freight increase. Every single one of us that operates a trucking company has the same type of cost as far as labor and fuel. Yeah, maybe fuel, it will vary by a few cents depending on how much freight or fuel you buy. But overall costs, you know, we all have to buy insurance. Yes, insurance does get a little bit less when you have 500 or 1,000 trucks. But even those guys, their labor costs are huge, and the cost of their support staff is gigantic. You know, I was just running through numbers yesterday with my team here in Calgary, and they were shocked when I started to add up and share the numbers of what it costs to have a truck on the road. And threw out some of the other numbers that they hadn't thought about, such as the administrative costs. And it's huge money.
Right.
And, of course, the bigger you are, the more, although you can leverage to some degree on technology, the more trucks you have, the more people you have to have, the more real estate you have to have. So, yeah, they save some money by buying certain things. They buy trucks cheaper than most of the listeners out there. But, you know, they're paying more for other things. Yeah, they may buy a truck for $20,000 less, but they also have a multimillion-dollar shop. Got to be put back in the equation. Yeah, and they don't buy one fuel filter at a time. They buy a truckload. But then they have to have a place to store it, and there's a cost to that.
One thing that that you talked about just now, what you just mentioned about, you know, it's the age-old thing about everybody's out here talking about, well, there's no such thing as a truck shortage or anything like that. Because if there was a truck, if there was a shortage of drivers in the trucking industry, the rates would go up. But I think that the reason that a lot of people are saying that is because they're dealing mostly with brokers versus direct freight. And I think that if you, while we got you on the line, I know we spoke about it a little bit yesterday. You can definitely speak to this because you're dealing directly with customers and you know the aspects of your business. So just put it where the ghost can get it, Chuck. Is there really a driver shortage out here?
It's definitely a driver shortage overall throughout the continent. There's a driver shortage for a lot of reasons, and it's going to get worse. People don't want to look at the number of hours a driver's lost in the last year because of this reset thing. And people are just
right.
There's other good paying jobs out there for people that don't mind working hard and getting dirty. You know, the oil patch out here in Alberta is alive and healthy. And if you know how to drive a truck, you've got a job. And even if you don't know how to drive a truck, you got a job. And you don't have to take the abuse that some truck drivers have to take. Being shut down after you do a day's work, and you're supposed to find a place to park, and yeah, it's getting better, but it's still bad. Parking is still short in some areas. And it's all the
exactly.
other things. So people are getting out of, you know, the whole romanticism of being a truck driver is it's gone the way of the dodo bird. I can tell you that people lose the romance of it pretty quickly these days, and it becomes a job.
And
in a lot
of
areas, it's not a good paying job.
And speaking of which, I'm going to be providing a link to this a little bit later on, but Mr. Chuck Snow also has a blog, everyone, so I'm going to be providing a link to Chuck's blog on my website, on my Facebook page, and I'll share it in some of the groups. But he talks specifically about another reason for the shortage of truck drivers on his blog. But once again, I want to give everyone an opportunity that's on the line. If you have any questions, press number one. We'll get right to you. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. And Chuck, we were talking earlier about getting to the decision maker, who to ask for once we identify the potential prospect or suspect. Now, what advice can you maybe give us to open up the dance as far as when we make that initial contact? What is it that we might need to say, or what is it that we might need to do? How should one just, you know, if you could kind of walk us through that beginning of the dance?
Tell them who, first of all, tell them your name, get their name, get the spelling of their name. Make sure you've got the right pronunciation of their name. People want to hear that you know their name. That's number one. Make sure they know your name. Speak clearly. Do not mumble. Tell them why you're calling. Remember something. These people are getting inundated with phone calls from brokers and carriers and logistics providers alike. So you're in a long lineup. What differentiates you from the rest of the herd? And that's what you got to figure out. So call and go, you know what, this is, good morning, this is George Saunders, and I'm with Saunders Truck Line. We service the area between Atlanta and Chicago, or what you do. We do full loads from Atlanta to Chicago and Chicago to Atlanta. Do you ship anything to or from that lane? And then it becomes a yes or no. And if the person
right.
says no, we never do, we never have, we never will, well, thank you for your time. Here is my phone number, or get their email address and send them an email. Try to get an appointment to go and see them.
actually that's what my next question was going to be. What if so? If you try to get that appointment, do you need to have a PowerPoint presentation maybe prepared, or what would you suggest? What do you need if you
no,
make
I don't
the appointment
think you have to
get the appointment?
You don't need a PowerPoint. What you do need is you need some handouts. Okay, you need to give them information on you and your company. Even if you're a one truck operator, make yourself look bigger. And if they, for God's sake, if you're going to have voicemail because you can't get to your phone all the time, return calls as quick as you can. Return emails as quick as you can. It's going to be hard for somebody that's on the road. And if you have somebody that can watch your phone or give them a number of somebody that can tell you when they call so you can get right back to them, you never know when that moment comes when they call. And then they, you know,
right.
You'll get that appointment. If you do get to see them, then you do want to present them with a package with your licensing and insurance, maybe a picture of your truck done in a brochure style. Printing has gotten a heck of a lot cheaper than what it used to be. And there's some great online stuff you can get that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. There's, there's canned photos of trucks. If there's a way of somehow including a picture of your equipment, it may not be a bad idea if you can somehow incorporate that into your handout. And it's always good to have, make sure you've got business cards, make sure they've got a fax number and an email address. And when you go in, dress appropriately. Don't go in with your dirty jeans. You know, the best color, you know, wear, you don't necessarily have to wear a suit. Definitely be clean. And wear a sports jacket and dress pants. You've got to look. Now you're
right,
driving a truck.
Somewhere George Heck is just laughing, just smiling and laughing. I know it. I can see it right now. You're singing, you're preaching to the choir as far as that goes. But George definitely harps on that point. And don't be what about, you know, as far as making the transition, like you said, not being the truck driver, making sure that you spoke about speaking slowly and stuff like that. But sometimes people may get intimidated. I know I've had a conversation with people, and they say, man, I get really intimidated. You know, even I heard someone talk about at the CMC this year, was talking about you yourself and how, you know, maybe even talking to you, they get intimidated because, you know, they feel like you're such in this position or whatever. What can someone do to maybe help get their mind wrapped around, you know, being able to approach the business without being intimidated?
There's a couple of things you can do. Number one, if you can participate in any type of public speaking arena, okay, whether it's your local church or your, you know, your local service club, anything you can do to get out there and speak in public will help you. The other thing to do, and some of you guys out there may laugh, practice, okay? Whether you practice in front of your dog or your wife or your kids or your grandma or your mom, it doesn't matter. Run through some practice scenarios. You know what? Practice makes perfect. And get them
paid. I've also heard that, you know, especially practicing, especially as far as like overcoming objections or being able to handle objections or different questions
yes.
that may come up, making sure that you got, you know, from some of the stuff that I've read, that if you've got a canned response, if you practice it properly and know how to flow it within the flow of the conversation, it doesn't come across canned. But you
That's
don't
right.
want to just come across as a robot with a canned response.
Well, you know, Rico, I get several calls a year, actually even several a month, from these companies that try to sell me business services. They're going to come in and send consultants in to show me how to be more efficient and save money on all sorts of stuff. And I've been getting these calls for the last 35 years. And I can 99% of the time, I can tell that they're selling me this after the first sentence. Now, once in a while, somebody will sneak in and they'll cold call me and I won't know what they're selling until after a couple of minutes. And I'll actually give them a couple of minutes of my time. So you, all these people are, they're all reading off of a canned script. And any traffic manager or logistics manager doesn't want to deal with somebody that's reading off a canned script. So you differentiate yourself on in all ways when you're making the original call and when you go in there. So, yes, I totally agree with what you're saying is when you're practicing, practice the objections and learn how to handle them. Remember, everybody out there is going to go in, and it doesn't matter whether it's a broker, a carrier, whatever it is, whether they have one truck or 1,000 trucks. Nobody's going to go in there and say, we're an awful carrier, we're always late, our drivers are always dirty, our trucks stink. You know, we have an awful accident ratio, and we lose all your freight. Nobody's going in there with that spiel. Now,
right,
somebody out there
right.
may want, somebody may have the guts to try that one, but I don't suggest it. So everybody's great.
Got,
everybody's perfect.
We're coming up on about the final 2 minutes of the show. Wanted to give you an opportunity. Is there anything, any closing remarks, anything that you just wanted to say to get out there that you wanted to share with us before we sign off for tonight? And once again, I appreciate your patience and your time for sticking around and hanging in there with us.
You know what? If all I want to tell people is if you really want it, it's out there, you can get it. It's just how bad do you want it? And if you really want it bad, you work at it. And it's not going to come easy. The easiest thing in the world to do is to pick up the phone and take a load from a third party. That doesn't take much. It's a phone call. But if you want to go through the guts and the grime of getting your own customer base, do it. But there are drawbacks, and it takes a long time to build. You know, it's taken me over 35 years to do it. And don't think you're going to accomplish in a year what somebody else did in over 30. It takes a long time and a lot of pain, but you can do it. You just have to keep at it. Don't get discouraged. And work on your on your delivery of what you're going to tell the potential client. And that's the best advice I have for everybody.
That was gold, and especially to think that it's going to take, you know, took someone 15, 16 years to build up to a certain point. It's not going to happen overnight. The overnight success is really 15 years in the making. So you got to embrace the grind of the process.
That's right. You know, Rico, through the years, I've watched a lot of people come up real quickly, and you watch a guy start a trucking company, and next thing you know, he's got a yard full of brand-new shiny Peterbilts, and you go, where did this guy come from? And then about 6 months later, you get a call from the finance company saying, hey, you want to buy some Peterbilts? And I've seen that happen dozens of times.
Funny you say that. I just left an auction up in Charlotte from I went up and bought another trailer. I'm getting ready to add another truck onto my fleet. That's when I've been kind of been harping on for the past 30 days, and we finally about ready to put the rubber on the road. But, you know, we want to try to grow slow, make sure that we do everything debt-free, if at all possible, and so far we've been successful at doing that. And I, once again, Chuck, I'd just like to appreciate and thank you again for coming on and spending some time with us and sharing a wealth of your knowledge with us. We're getting ready to wrap up the show. We got about 30 seconds left. I'm going to be posting Chuck's link to his blog. If you have any questions or anything for the next time that Chuck's on, Chuck comes on with us once a month, feel free to shoot me a note or email. And since you know, if you're a little scared to come on the air, and we'll make sure that we get it over to Chuck. Anything you want to say in closing, Chuck? Anything else?
No, Rico. I just want to tell everybody to have fun and be safe out there. The next time I talk to you, I'll probably be in British Columbia at the Truxpo truck show. We're going to be exhibiting there at Traffics, hiring drivers and owner-operators. So if any of you are out that way, please come by the booth and say hello.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us tonight, guys. We appreciate you guys for sticking in there and hanging with us. This is Rico Muhammad covering in for Kevin Rutherford on the Rates and Lane podcast. wishing you all a good night. Be safe and master the journey, everyone. Thanks.
Good night, Rico.
Good night, Chuck.